Amber had a birthday?
No, she's going
to
have a birthday.
Oh, you're going to have a birthday. Do you have one of those every year? Wow. You're going to be three? She's going to be four. They're hard to keep up with when they keep coming.
My brother's going to have a birthday on June.
Is that right? How many of you will have a birthday this year? Oh, wow. All right. Great. That's fantastic. All right. All right, bring them on. Hey, how you doing, Charlie? All right. Well, I need you to pull this one up here. Pull it through. Okay, pull it through, all the way, pull it through. Pull it through this way. Now pull that string. Oh, right there, pull that one. Okay, tie me a bow on there. Can you tie me a bow? What am I doing? Well, I'm tying this string on my finger so I won't forget to tie the string that I forgot to tie. That I was supposed to already have on here because I forgot. It was in my pocket. I was so excited. I was seeing people I hadn't seen for a while, and I was so excited I forgot. So, but now you know what this string is for. What is it for?
It's to remember.
Because today is Memorial Day, and you know what Memorial Day is about? It's about remembering.
I know that already.
Well, very good. And what do we remember, Charlie, on Memorial Day?
Pastor Garrett, I have a birthday.
Good. That's good. What is it, Charlie?
To remember
the veterans. That's very good. And we're going to talk about some other things we need to remember. I want to read some scripture to you this morning in Numbers chapter 15. The Lord said to Moses. How many of you remember a guy named Moses? Okay, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And so we want to remember. And so this is not really a very good tassel, and it's not blue, but we, through the years, have kind of adopted in our society, in our culture, the idea of getting a rubber band or tying a string so that we indeed can remember things. And then when we remember what we're supposed to do, then we can put the string away. And so what did the scripture say to us that we're supposed to remember? To obey God's commands. And so we have all of that in our Bible. And we're going to talk about some more things that are very important to remember this morning when we get into the sermon time. And we're so glad you're here. But one of the things that we need to remember to do is to pray. And particularly on Memorial Day, we want to pray because right now, even as we're here in church and we have air conditioning, and we have padded pews, we have all kinds of comfort, there are men and women all around the world who are there so that we can enjoy all the things we enjoy. They're in the military, and they're right now, they're active duty. And so we want to pray for them this morning. We want to thank God for those who have served. Matter of fact, what we would like to do right now, we would like for everyone who is currently active or who has ever served in the military, would you please stand this morning? Anyone who's ever served our country in the military or is currently serving, would you express your appreciation for these folks this morning? And would you guys give them a good clap and say hoop and holler and cheer? Yay! All right. Very good. Thank you so much. You may be seated this morning. But we're going to pray and thank God for their service. And we're going to pray and prayer time later this morning. Yeah.
My mom and dad.
That's right. We have a lot of folks who have served, and we're very thankful for them. We're going to pray for those who are currently serving that we don't even know who they are or where they're at. But we're going to pray and thank God for these who are part of our congregation this morning and who have served. We thank Miss Janet for singing the national anthem this morning. That was a great way to start a Memorial Day service. But we want to do our best to remember. And so, you know what a tassel is? The Bible said that they put tassels on the robes. You know what a tassel is? How many of you have ever been to graduation? And you've seen the tassel that hangs over the graduate caps? That's a tassel. And so they used to have tassels on the robes back in the old days to help them to remember to obey God. What do we have today to help us to remember to obey God? Well, you could use a string, but we have the Bible. We have God's Word. And those people back in those days, they didn't get to carry Bibles around like we do. So how many of you have more than one Bible? Yeah, we have. Sometimes we have lots of copies. I have a whole bunch of Bibles in my office. You have two? All right. Well, see, in those days, only rich people even could have a scroll. And primarily, the scrolls were only at church, so everybody didn't have a Bible to carry around with them. So if they couldn't remember what they heard read, they wouldn't know what to do. So we're blessed that we now have God's Word in print, and we can have that with us, and we can memorize Scripture, and we can remember the things that God wants us to remember. What I want you to remember is that God loves you, and we love you, and we're so glad that you're here this morning, okay? And we have a very special presentation. I want you just to hang with me for just a minute because it's for a very important person who thinks a lot of you. And so, Leanne, if you're ready. Has she departed the premises? She's in the foyer. Well, let's call her in. And Ben, if you'll get those things from behind there, I think Leanne has some items there that she wants to present. We'll help her out a little bit there this morning. Someone evidently has contacted her in the motion to get here. Do you know that lady? Is that who that is? She is my wife. Well, good for you. Leanne, if you want to use this mic right here, they can pick you up and that'll be on the recording then.
Jennifer had a very special day this last week, and on Wednesday we celebrated it, but we're celebrating it again today, and that's okay because the celebration of your birthday isn't just for one day. It's our best wishes for the whole year. We are trusting that God is going to give you the best year that you've ever had. I have known Jennifer as a friend for a lot longer than she's been my pastor's wife, and that's really special to me. We love you, and happy, happy birthday. Have a wonderful year.
Okay, you guys all go tell Miss Jennifer happy birthday as you go back to your mom and dad.
And while the kids are still in here, you kids, are you listening to me? Did you know that there are people on the mission field where our missionaries go? There's pastors that don't even have a full Bible. They have to share. They may tear out a page or a couple pages and they read that part because they don't have Bibles. So we need to remember to pray for our missionaries too. There's just something this morning that we need to be made aware of. Carolyn's not here today, and she was going to do a video, but we received this invitation from Joplin First Church, and they are going to start having a missionary once a quarter, and the first one will be this coming Saturday night at Joplin First Church. And I'm thinking that I haven't talked to Pastor Gary about this, but if there's enough of us that want to go on a Saturday night, they're on Saturday nights, so we might be able to take the church van. But for this coming Saturday night, they're having the missionary that will be at District Assembly or at the NMI convention. the speaker. It's the Potters. And so I'm making you aware of that. This time it will start at 5 o'clock, and they are having dinner, which we don't have to bring anything. And then it's the meeting at, or the service at 6. In the future, it will start at 6, and they'll have the service at 7. But we'll make you aware when the next one comes closer, and so that if you wish to go, you can speak to me or one of the people on the council, and or Pastor Gary, and we might be able to get enough people together to take a church van. So the next one won't be until August, and we'll make sure that you're aware of it. But for now, it's this Saturday night. If you wish to go over, I think you would probably have to drive yourself this time. But they are going to be having missionaries, so keep that in mind.
Thank you, Linda. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Bob, would you come forward and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for each and every one here today. Bless each and every one. Bless our service here this morning. Bless this offering. Pray that we go for thy intended use. We'll ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Freedom.
indeed want to prepare our hearts for prayer. There are several things that we need to be considering this morning. Brother Ben, if you will help me. If you were not here last week we spoke to you about the Summer for Souls program. We distributed these cards, and this certainly is a matter of prayer. And so, Brother Ben, if you'll take those. If you're here this morning and you were not here last week and you did not receive one of these cards, would you just raise your hand? And while we're dealing with prayer requests here, Brother Ben, we'll get that into your hands and we'll give you further explanation of that so that you can respond to that. I want to read a couple of cards of thanks here for the way you have ministered to others, and they have received that. Thank you to my church family. Thank you so much for putting in all the time and effort and making my party great. You all have had such a great impact on my life, and I can't seem to find the words to thank you enough. Love, Jenny Raper. And so we say congratulations again on her graduation, and may God bless her as she goes out into a new adventure in her life. And then some of you, I failed to mention this last week, but a week ago Saturday was Sucker Day, and we indeed had some volunteers who were in the kids area, and they were able to distribute some flyers as well as giving aid to children who were doing various activities there. And I'll not take time to read this whole thing, but from Regina Maidlow and Rhonda from the Sucker Day Committee, it just says to Cody and the volunteers, just can't thank you enough. And there's another note, and I'll put these on the bulletin board. But thanks to those of you who went out and worked on Sucker Day to represent our church and be able to distribute some of those flyers for Vacation Bible School and some of the upcoming events. And then here's a couple of things you need to make a matter of prayer. We have an opportunity on this Tuesday, the 26th, at Union Hill Church of Christ. There is a disaster workshop put on by the governor of the state from 1 to 5 p.m. It's free. Most of our staff will be at District Assembly. And so if there's someone here who's interested in going to this, this is indeed the churches, the faith-based community, helping in times of disaster, tornadoes, those types of things, providing services. And so if you have interest in that, see me after church and I'll get you that information. It's free, and you can go and bring the information back to us. And then for those of you who may be interested in the security of the church, there is indeed a meeting on Sunday, June the 7th at 1:30 at Nick's Assembly. It is specifically geared to their security staff, but they're opening it to all. And so if you have interest in attending that meeting, see me after church, and I'll get you that specific information as well so that we can have the information we need in regard to those things. But for those of you who were not here last week, we have several programs that we're going to be a part of. They're listed on this card. During the week of June 22nd, we will distribute cold bottles of water in the Rotary Park to those parents and siblings who are coming to watch ball games, and distribute flyers for our summer activities. And so if you're interested in that, when Matt and Jenna get back from the holiday weekend, you can contact them. They're the directors for the Cup of Cold Water campaign. Praying for these folks, obviously, and for these dates, July 4th, Mary Willard will head up a booth at the city 4th of July celebration. And so that is Celebrate Safely. We'll give out sunscreen and bug spray during that day and hand out flyers and give information about the church as well. Then Amber is directing, Amber Shelton is directing our Vacation Bible School, which will happen beginning July 6th. And so you can invite children in your community. If you can work during that week, Amber would be glad for you to speak directly to her. T-shirts that you have ordered are here. You can secure those from the office. It would be really cool, I think, if when we worked the 4th of July booth, if we were wearing those shirts, that would be kind of cool. That would indeed give some promotion there. And then Pat Stevens is handling the God's Love giveaway, where we'll be giving away some gift cards in the Sundays between Vacation Bible School and Faith, Family, and Fun Day. Cody Swearingen is directing a Faith, Family, and Fun Day in the Max Arnold Memorial Car Show again this year. And so if you're willing to help there, you can sign up there. And then Carolyn Stevens will be directing the Pastries and Prayer, which will be a 10-month program going into every school in our community and praying over our faculty and staff and students. And so all of this is a part of One for One and One, trying to indeed double the number of people that we're affecting as a church to bring lost souls to Christ. And so you can fill those out. Some of you took them home last week as you're praying over them. Just return those to us, and we'll get the appropriate directors notified of your willingness to serve on those. Also in the corner of the sound booth, there are pamphlets regarding our faith promise. If you've not made a faith promise pledge for the new year yet, there are cards there as well. We're very close to reaching our 23,000 goal, and so we appreciate your response. So all of these things are important matters of prayer. If we do not cover these activities with our prayer, if we do not have the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit as we're trying to minister to people, it's all going to be for naught. And so we want to cover them with prayer. We want God to be present, to be known. We want people to sense the Spirit of God in our workers and those things as we carry out these activities. So please remember these things. Continue to pray for those names that are listed in your bulletin, a prayer list. And we are so thrilled and excited this morning. It is good to have Julie back in service with us here this morning. Julie Brooks, Hazel Davis is back with us in service this morning. As much, we're also glad for every one of you who are here. Always glad to see Joanne Sissel to be in service with us. And so we're glad for those of you who are here. Pray for those folks who you don't see, because on Memorial Weekend, they're probably traveling. And they're out with families and in remembrances. And so just pray for God's protection over them. And indeed, may His blessing be upon you and your families as we go through this holiday weekend. And there will be no service this evening as a result of that. So let's stand together. We'll sing. The altars are open. If you have need of a place just to lay your burdens down or lift up your praise, you feel free to come, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
Holy Spirit,
Father, we indeed are blessed today. We are blessed to live in the great nation of America. And on this Memorial Day, we are mindful of those who, through many wars, police actions, other things that have taken place, that many have given their lives in the belief of democracy, and extending themselves for the protection of their families and their country, their flag, what we stand for and what we represent, freedoms and liberties. And Lord, we pray that you would be with those today who mourn the loss of lives in these kinds of actions. And then, Father, just a few moments ago, we hope our children will truly, truly understand the value of these people who stood to their feet and who are veterans and have themselves served, given their all, in the sense that they did their best to fulfill their duties and were fortunate enough to be able to return home to their families and to their lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for them as well. We thank you for their service. And Lord, today we want to be mindful of those people who are in a uniform and serving in military capacities around our world. Lord, those whose lives are in harm's way, we pray that that you would watch over them and that you would protect them, that you would keep them. Father, for those who are in reserve capacities and are on call, Lord, we pray that you'd bless them as they continue to serve as well. Pray, Father, that they would sense the appreciation of a grateful nation, and that, Lord, they would know that there are people who love them and who are lifting them up to the throne room of God, that it's not just a military equipment and ammunition that protects their lives, but there is a God in heaven who is superior to all things man could ever think of or invent. And that, Father, we pray that you would be with them and bless them and keep them. Father, we thank you for the Lord's Day today, that we can come and fellowship together freely, that we can honor you, and that we can honor the life of your Son that was given for our freedom as well. And we'll talk more to that in the message this morning. But Father, we thank you that you have provided for our spiritual freedom, forgiveness of sins, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. For Lord, this is also Pentecost Sunday. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the presence and the power of the abiding Spirit of God in our lives to give us guidance. You said you would guide us into all truth. And Father, you would convict us. And so, Lord, when we're headed the wrong way or thinking the wrong thing or acting in the wrong way, that you indeed would convict us, that we would sense that tap of the Spirit, change our direction, change our thought process, or come back to a point of surrender or sacrifice that would allow us to be where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing, the way we need to be doing it. Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. We are grateful today. We thank you for who you are and how you feel about us. And Lord, we want to learn to love you as we should. Lord, help us to become less self-consumed. And Lord, that we will continue to die to ourselves, and that we will truly become the servants that you desire for us to be. And that we indeed would be a nation that would be of service to our world. Lord, we don't always agree with them, but we pray for our leaders today who make decisions concerning the lives of those who are serving. We pray for their wisdom and for their knowledge of things to make decisions that would honor you and to be a blessing to you. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship today. Thank you for the privilege and the freedom that we have to sit in these pews and to stand and sing praise to you without any fear that someone's going to come and take us off the jail or take our lives or whatever. Lord, we know there are dangers that are out there, and we know that we have to protect against them, but for the most part, we are free, and we thank you for that. We owe you everything. And so, Father, we recognize you, and we give you glory and honor and praise, for you are worthy. And again, we thank you for this great nation and the flag and all that it represents. And may we honor our country and those who have served it this day and this weekend. And we thank you for it in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I also want to say a word of thanks. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Matt looks a little different this morning because Matt is not there. But James is on the drums this morning, and we're looking to make some transition, and maybe James is going to become kind of a regular fixture there and let Matt get on the bass guitar and add some things to our music and our prayer. But we thank you, James, for your service this morning, and we appreciate it. And so there are many, many ways that we can serve God, and we're thankful for all of the talents. We want you to use your talents for the Lord, and some of you are multi-talented, and so we want to hear from one of you multi-talented people.
Little less than a year ago, I sang this exact same song. I believe it was probably the 14th of June. And little did I know that when I sang this song, I would be living this song for the past year. Because as you all know, June 20th, Bruce passed away. Bruce was my oldest friend. We had been friends for over 50 years. And that was tough. But you know what? I trusted Jesus. Jesus knew what he was doing. And then it just goes on and on and on. My dad had a stroke. Then my dad passed away. And then mom fell and broke her hip. And everything that we've gone through, I totally put my hands in God's hands. And I have trusted him. And I know all of you have too. But that's what I was singing about this morning, is I can trust Jesus no matter what, no matter what. God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly. Brushed off its wounds, and then he watched soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my felt they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in his word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on his will, for he always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus.
Thank you so much, Janet, for that beautiful song. And certainly as someone sings the words that someone else has penned, we can tell when someone is living that song. The ministry that comes as they share it is just different. And so thank you so much for that beautiful song. We continue to pray for your mom, and we miss her when she's unable to be with us. Always glad when she's able to be here. And that has befallen several of our folks. And again, we are just glad to have some of those folks back with us this morning as we worship the Lord together. I want to talk to you along the same line that we were speaking to the children this morning. I just want to talk to you a little bit about remembering. And I don't know, how many of you tend to forget better than you remember? As I get older, and I don't think it's all just because of old age, although there is a point where old age kind of plays into that. But as we get older, we find that more things come on our plate. There's more things for us to be concerned about. There's more things for us to keep up with. And so I've tried to learn. Jennifer has gotten on to me several times. She said, now when people go out the back door and they say, well, I'm going to have this doctor appointment, or I'm going to have this surgery, this thing's going to happen, you're not going to remember all that. So you need to have a pad or something, and you can write that down and then incorporate that into your calendar. And so I finally this year, I did that, and I got a really good date book, and I had it in my back pocket, and I went somewhere the other day, and when I came home, my back pocket was empty, and so everything that I'm supposed to remember is somewhere. And so that's kind of how life goes sometimes. And we get a few of those things. You know, these phones are so convenient now. We just put all those things in our phones. But you have to remember how the phone works, where the calendar is, and how to save it once you get it in there. How many of you ever typed anything in those places and then it didn't save it? And maybe you forgot to hit the save button. Or we find out that electronics don't do everything we ask them to do when we ask them to do it the way we ask them to do it. And so sometimes it gets away from us. But at any rate, Memorial Weekend is about remembering. Now, I will just tell you what really concerns me is some of the things that I've seen recently. And I want us to turn to this text, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 11. And I want you to hear it this morning. It reads like this. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. And we read that, and the author of Ecclesiastes goes on to say, everything is just meaningless. Life is meaningless, and these things are going on. And so he's saying that people will not remember. And I thought, well, you know, Memorial Day, that was impressed upon my mind. We always went to the cemetery on Memorial Weekend, saw my relatives, put flowers on my grandparents' graves, and through the years we've added other members in the cemetery now. We put more flowers, and now I took my mom and my sister down yesterday to put flowers on my dad's grave, and so we try to remember. It never dawned on me, because my family took the responsibility to make it a big thing to remember. But over the last year, I have seen multiple videos of people who were asked the question, what is Memorial Day? Do you realize that there's a good portion of a generation or two that have no clue what Memorial Day really is? There were people that the only thing Memorial Day meant to them was a 3-day weekend, a barbecue, and sales at the shopping malls. Now, folks, that's sad commentary for our country. And we see the attendance waning as we hear the reports of various national cemeteries or observances that happen. We schedule so many things into our lives that a lot of times when they're having these special ceremonies and observances on Memorial Day, there are not very many people that attend them. One of the things that stirs me every year at Memorial Day is watching, because they show this on the news every year, is watching the particular regiment or company that goes to Arlington National Cemetery. And I don't know if you've ever watched that, but every year they make this a point. Those guys, when they set those flags on every headstone at Arlington, they measure it by their boot. The toe of their boot goes against that headstone, and they bend down, and the flag is placed at the heel so that every flag is in exactly the same spot on every one of those men's graves. They're all treated equally. They're all given equal honor. And it's just a very moving thing to watch that. And these men who are now active duty soldiers that are going on there and putting that on there. Well, yesterday when I was down at the cemetery where my father is buried, and my father was a veteran, there was a group of ladies, I'm assuming from Daughters of the American Revolution or veterans of foreign wars or whatever, but there were three ladies who were walking through the cemetery where my father is buried, placing flags on every headstone. And I know they've got records. They have records of this at the tent, but they were placing American flags at the grave of every person who had served. That's remembrance. It means something. It has value. It bothers me. The word memorial means serving to preserve remembrance. And we are not doing our kids any favors when we don't teach them to remember those who have provided for them what they enjoy. And so I want our kids in our church to know that when people have served in the military, that we respect them and we honor them and we appreciate them for the service that they have given to their country. And so this morning there are just some things that I think that we need to remember. And the first thing that I would say to you this morning is that we need to remember those who have sacrificed for our freedoms. And indeed, in April of 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating graves of her two sons who died, representing their beloved Southland, an elderly woman walked to two mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery to place memorial flowers there also. And a couple of friends shouted, "What are you doing? Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." And softly, that compassionate mother said, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them just as we do for ours." That's what remembrance is. Sometimes we have to remember to forget the things that separate us. We have to remember the things that tie us together. That then went on to spawn some other things that have taken place. And indeed, they say, and this is debated, but they say that Waterloo, New York, was the birthplace of Memorial Day. A couple of years after this incident on May the 5th, 1866, the people of Waterloo placed flowers on the graves of Northern soldiers who had died in the Civil War. And in 1868, 2 years later, then Major General John Logan declared May 30th as a day for honoring soldiers who had died fighting for the North. A lot of meaning is attached to decorating graves. After World War I ended in 1918, Decoration Day became a day to remember everyone who died fighting in U.S. wars, the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I. The observation now also includes World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and now into the Middle Eastern conflicts. And so this morning, I just want to remind you that as we think about Memorial Day and whatever plans you have, that somewhere you will pause, as we have here this morning, that you will pause and remember that a lot of people have given everything they could in order for us to set freely in this place this morning and to worship God in the way we do. In the Revolutionary War, there were 25,324 Americans who gave their lives. In the Civil War, 498,332 lives were yielded. World War I, 116,710. World War II, 407,316 lives were given. Korean War, 54,546. The Vietnam War, 58,098. The First Gulf War, 293. And then the War Against Terror, which goes back to 2003 into the current time, at the end of 2014, 4,491 Americans had yielded their lives to the preservation of our freedoms. And so we honor them this morning. Watch this video for a moment, please. And so we indeed thank God for those who have given their lives in preserving our freedoms as we understand and know them as Americans today. But there's more that have sacrificed for our freedom, for the greatest freedom that we have today is spiritual freedom. The battle that took place in the heavenlies, the life that Jesus lived for 33 years here, there was a spiritual warfare that took place. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 19, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus speaking to his disciples, preparing them for what was to come. And then, of course, we know by recording in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." The thing that I want us to understand this morning is that Jesus died for complete and total spiritual freedom. Jesus did not just die to forgive us our sins. He did not just die to provide for that atonement. The scripture says he suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy. The word holy means to be without sin, sin being understood as a willful and knowledgeable transgression against a known law of God. In other words, Jesus died so that we might not only be forgiven, but that we might be empowered by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit to make right decisions, right choices, to pillow our heads at night after a day's journey and know that we have done our best to please our Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean that we are absolutely perfect. It doesn't mean that we have always gone through a day and never done anything to offend or harm anyone in any way. But it means that we have never purposely done anything to malign anyone else in any way. It meant that our attitude was correct, that our desire was correct, that our motive was incorrect, that it was our intent to please our Heavenly Father. And while we might have been imperfect in performance, as the Holy Spirit convicts us and makes us conscious, we can correct the wrongs that take place in our lives under the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can make the world a much better place to live as we enjoy the freedom from the power of sin. For Jesus died not only to shed his blood to cover our sin and forgive us, but that he might indeed be able to drive that carnal spirit that we inherited from Adam and Eve, that he might take that from us, being as it came in after the creation. that by the infilling of His Holy Spirit that He might displace that presence of evil with an internal foothold, so that temptation has to face us from the outside, that the enemy will not have an abiding presence in our life because we are filled with the Spirit and the presence of God. And that's even more thrilling and more exciting as we realize that indeed today is Pentecost Sunday. That not only is it Memorial Weekend this year, but it is the 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it was the giving of the Holy Spirit at the feast in Jerusalem, where men were in an upper room, and what seemed like tongues of fire fell upon them, and they were enabled to speak in languages they had not learned, and about 17 nations of people who had been separated at the Tower of Babel, never to be able to communicate with each other, came into the city of Jerusalem, and the same God who took them apart at Babel brought them back together in a magnificent happening in Pentecost, and the gospel left Jerusalem and went to the entire world from that point in time. And so not only did He give them this individual empowerment, but He gave a message back to the world of how He loved them and wanted to be their God and would have a personal relationship with them and go with them everywhere they went, every day of their lives, and empower them to be the people that they needed to be. That, folks, is a fantastic gift. The presence and the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is an amazing presentation. And so we remember this day those who have given their lives, whether it was indeed those of folks who died on the battlefield in the secular realm, or whether it was indeed Jesus Christ who gave His life on the cross that we might enjoy spiritual freedom. But I believe there's more that we need to remember this morning. I believe that we need to remember to take care of the relationships that we have here. I remind you that in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 23 and 24, we find these words: "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." I think one of the amazing things that is given to us as a direction here is when we come into a point in time of prayer, if we realize that our brother has something against us, this indeed is an imitation of God. God made the move. God did not do anything wrong. We were the ones who were sinful, but God made the move to us first. And what indeed He is saying here is that as we come to speak to Him, that if we realize that there's some issue going on between us and somebody else, and maybe the other person is the one who really has perpetrated this, that we as a Christian have an obligation to at least attempt to go to them and try to reconcile. There's no guarantee they're going to reconcile. There's no guarantee that they're going to receive our good intentions. But He says in order to pray correctly that we need to go with a spirit of love and a spirit of forgiveness and do our best to reconcile with our brother. I believe that what God is saying to us here is that we need to get in the frame of mind where we do not hold grudges. If you read through the Scriptures, multiple times it tells you that if you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Matter of fact, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we literally ask God to forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if we have an unforgiving spirit, we're literally saying to God, "God, I want you to be as unforgiving to me as I am to others." Now, that's not really what we mean. And that's not really what we want. But that is the essence of how God has laid out this salvation plan. As you give it out, that's how you get it. It's the same measure that it comes back to you in. And He reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 of these words: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now let's go back and think for a moment. What causes wars in the first place? It's because somebody wants to be bigger than somebody. Somebody wants to be more powerful than somebody. Somebody wants what somebody else has, or somebody doesn't like what somebody said. or maybe even a misunderstanding where somebody thinks somebody said or did something they never did in the first place. And we have had wars in our homes and wars on our playgrounds and wars in our places of work and wars in our world, all because mostly men and women are self-centered people without God. And what makes us like God? The ability to forgive. The ability to extend grace. The ability to be compassionate. The ability to be merciful. And so indeed, when people have that kind of spirit, and when we live by the golden rule, which is to treat others in the same way that we desire to be treated, when we live that way, it changes how the world reacts to one another. It makes a difference in the world that we live in. It allows us to live and die with a clear conscience rather than tension and estrangement. I want to share with you a story that I read several years ago that kind of speaks to this issue. Ron was a 15-year-old teenager, a 10th grader at Granger High School. It was game day, and he was the only sophomore suiting up with the varsity team. Excitedly, he invited his mother to attend. It was her very first football game, and she promised to be there with several of her friends. The game finally ended, and she was waiting outside the locker room to drive Ron home. "What did you think of the game, Mom? Did you see the 3 touchdown passes our team made and our tough defense and the fumble on the kickoff return that we recovered?" he asked. His mother replied, "Ron, you were magnificent. You have such presence, and I was proud of the pride you took in the way that you looked. You pulled up your knee socks 11 times during the game, and I could tell you were perspiring in all those bulky pads because you got 8 drinks and splashed water on your face twice. I really like how you went out of your way to pat number 19, number 5, and number 90 on the back every time they came off the field. Mom, how do you know all that? And how can you say I was magnificent? I didn't even play in the game." His mother smiled and hugged him. "Ron, I don't know anything about football. I didn't come here to watch the game. I came here to watch you." The moral of that story is people count most of all. Football is fine and football is fantastic for some people, but people are supreme. People are more important than football or games or the things of this life. Here's another way to look at it. One time, the popular actress Sophia Loren sobbed to her Italian movie director, Vittorio De Sica, over the theft of some of her jewelry. And he said to her, "Listen to me, Sophia. I am much older than you. And if there is one great truth I have learned about life, it is this. Never cry over anything that can't cry over you." Never cry over anything that can't cry over you. You see, people are always more important than things. People are more important than stuff. And we need to build relationships here. The things that we're doing in this summer for souls, giving a cold bottle of water or handing out bug spray and sunscreen, it's about caring about people. It's about meeting a need for somebody else. And when they say, "Why are you doing that?" then we say, "Because the love of Jesus Christ motivates us. Christ loved us and gave His life for us. We want to give to somebody else. We want to do something for somebody else." When you build relationships, when you're willing to serve and to give, when you're willing to forgive rather than having to prove your point or have it your way or whatever, then we find that the world is a much easier place to negotiate. We need to remember to take care of the relationships that we have here. You've heard, some of you who've been with me for the whole 29 years that we've been here, have heard me tell the story before, but when I come to Memorial Day every year, I can't help but think about this because I have a great Aunt Minnie who was very well off. She and her husband were good business people. They were good investors. They achieved a great amount of wealth. And my Grandma Ruby, who virtually never had much of anything, when it came to their latter years, my dad built a house for both of them side by side in Fordland, Missouri. And my grandmother, on every holiday, and Cheryl can vouch for this, she will remember this, on every holiday, my grandmother Ruby's driveway would be full of cars. We would be parked up and down the blacktop road in front of her house. And then we would go over to Aunt Minnie's house and park in her driveway because Aunt Minnie was so busy with her own affairs and her own life and doing what she wanted to do. She never had any children. And they were totally consumed with their lives and their business. And so we would all go over and park in Aunt Minnie's driveway as well. And Aunt Minnie was always a part of the family gatherings. But Aunt Minnie didn't have any children. She didn't have any grandchildren. She didn't have any great-grandchildren. She didn't have any people to come and gather with her other than her own siblings, because she had always spent her life self-consumed, not building relationships with other people, to the extent that in her will, when she died, it's the responsibility of my Uncle Darrell, who is the executor of her estate, to take money that she left behind and make sure that flowers got put on her grave. My Grandma Ruby probably didn't have any money to leave behind. But I can tell you there are lots of flowers on my Grandma Ruby's grave. Because she loved people. She served people. She cared about people. She built relationships. That town of Fordland knew my Grandma Ruby. She had a cafe there for a while. She had served many people in many ways. She had done laundry for people, raising her children. And every one of her children who are still living to this day will testify, because we've been through this. Cheryl and I kind of have responsibility for planning Thanksgiving and Christmas gatherings now, and sometimes we'll get the brothers and sisters that are left to talk about the early days. You know what they talk about more than anything? They don't talk about stuff that they got. They talk about how much Grandma Ruby loved them and how she provided for them and how she worked for them. Folks, I'm telling you, when it comes to your time and you're in a casket somewhere, what the things that people are going to say about you are not going to have anything to do with stuff. As much as we all want to be rich and famous, how many rich and famous people actually mean anything to you? Who means something to you? It's your mom and your dad, and it's your aunts and your uncles, and it's your best friends through high school and college. And it's people, Janet talked about Bruce. It's people who have invested in you. And maybe it wasn't a lot of money. Maybe it was just time. Maybe it was friendship. Maybe it was being there. Building relationships is an important thing. And as we go through this life, we need to remember that people are more important than things. And lastly, we need to remember, most of all, that God is the one who is the source of all things. I want to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. And then let's move back into that book of Ecclesiastes, where there was supposed to be so much in wisdom that was being imparted. And listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, when the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And then jump down to verse 6. Remember Him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and dust returns to the ground it came from, and spirit returns to God who gave it. What's he saying? He's saying we need to think about God before we get in trouble instead of after we get in trouble. If we put God first in our lives and our lives are driven by the things that are important to God, then we'll keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. But the sad thing is, many people don't even think about God until something's broken and needs to be fixed, or until something's in trouble or something is different than it ought to be. We need to remember the God who is the source of all things. We need to honor Him. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, He told us that one of the commandments to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. That's why you're here this morning, because you know that God is significant and He's important. And coming here to this gathering to be in His presence, to hear from Him, to have that relationship with Him is the most important thing in life. And when we have that relationship, He indeed will help us to put everything else in balance, remembering others and building relationships and doing all the things that we ought to do. And here is one of the most wonderful things about this relationship. For when we get into the book of Revelation and He's writing the letters to the churches, there's a couple of passages here that I want you to hear from Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And then over in chapter 3, verse 3, the first portion of verse 3, it says, remember therefore what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. Here's the great thing about God. If we don't get it right the first time, God doesn't quit. God doesn't give up on us. But He has great patience and great love. And He says, hear me. I'm crying out to you. Hear me. Remember where your first love ought to be. Put things back in the right order of priority. Make me the most important thing. And I put me in first place. Repent. Remember, return to your first love, and I will take care of you. So on this Memorial weekend, it's okay if you have a barbecue. It's okay if you see lots of family members, and maybe one of the reasons that you go to the cemetery is to try to see all those that are still alive. On this Memorial weekend, let us serve to preserve remembrance. And let's remember the things that are important. Remember those who gave their lives as the ultimate sacrifice for what we enjoy. Remember that the people who are living around you are valuable. Build relationships with them. And remember that there is a God in heaven who loves you and wants to provide you with everything you need to do all of the above. Honor Him. Remember Him. And I believe that indeed it will go well with you. The life that you live here, and when you're gone, there will be people who will remember you. And they will honor you. Can we just bow our heads for a moment? And will we just let God speak to our hearts and ask Him to help us to remember the important things in life? If indeed there's a drift in our life, if we've kind of gotten away from the things that are of value, if we've drifted in our relationship with Him, would we just remember and repent and return to our first love? We just say, Lord, help me to not be so busy. Help me to not get so consumed with things, but let me be consumed with people and You. And may the things of the past, the things that are gone, serve to help me remember what needs to be happening here in the present. And just say, Lord, I love You, and thanks for loving me. You are the most important person in my life. I trust that you will enjoy the day, that you'll have the opportunity to appreciate some folks, that whether it was yesterday or today or tomorrow, that you'll have the opportunity to remember some folks who've given for you, to honor them. Maybe make some phone calls or hang out with some folks who are still here now and tell them how much you love them, appreciate it, what an impact they've had on your life. We all know all too well for too soon they're gone. We don't have that opportunity. And let's live in such a way as to help others know the God who is the source of all things and can help them through whatever challenges they face in their life. Brother Ben, come and help us to understand how we can serve the Lord this week. Ted, I haven't had a chance to visit with you. There's been so much going on. Are you going to be available on Wednesday evening? There will be no service here Wednesday night because several will be gone to District Assembly. Will you be available if the van is ready to go? Can we drive the van on Wednesday night if for anybody who might want to come over to the NMI? Okay. We will do our best to have the van here and ready to go. We would need to depart about 5:30. But there is no service here on Wednesday night. But if you would like to come over to the District Assembly and be a part of the Inspirational Missionary Service, then we'll try to provide a way for that to happen. Okay, thank you, Ben.
As we prepare to close, just want to highlight a couple different things. As Pastor Gary said, this week we have our District Assembly starting Tuesday evening and going through Friday. Wednesday evening there is the NMI service. But also on Thursday, if you've never been to one of these, there's an ordination service at 7 o'clock that evening as well. Anyone new in the district, they will be doing an ordination ceremony for any newly appointed ministers. So be there Thursday evening at 7. We have dismissed services this evening, also this coming Wednesday. Enjoy the evening. Enjoy tomorrow. Take time. If you know someone that has served or is currently serving, and you get the opportunity, make a phone call or drop an email or a note or something. I'm sure that would be greatly appreciated as far as that goes. Do want to remind you, next Sunday is our Dogs Sunday. We've moved it from this week to next weekend, so bring a food item and we will plan on staying in celebration directly following service. And I believe that's everything. So we do want to say thank you again to those of you that currently are serving or have served in our military in the past. As we prepare to close, if you all would stand. And there's a special lady that hasn't had a chance to be here in several weeks. And Miss Julie, I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind closing us in prayer this morning.